just here, yeah, follow me. Yeah.
Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Baba Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharya Astutara Shaka Sri Sri Madhya's Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vindabhati Vedanta Sankhya Bhakti Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakurti Brave Sake Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garada Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanaki Sri Vrindavan Damki Sri Gangamaiki Sri Jamanamaiki Smith Kesi Devi Maharaniki The Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Our Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Our Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gurungarani Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed, Text 35. Soham Samanna Yamayastapo Maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati.
Prajapati nam abhivandita pati.
Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas.
Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas.
Tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Soham samam na yamayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati.
Prajapati nam abhivandita pati.
Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. Tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Soham samamna yamayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati. Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. Tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Please chant. Saham samamna yamayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati. Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. Tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Soham samana yamayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati. Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. Tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Soham samamna yamayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati. Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. Tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Matters. Soham samamna yamayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati. Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. Tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Soham samamna yamayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita pati. Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. tamna jaga chamyaka atma sambhava. Soham samamna yamayastapo maya. Prajapatinam abhivandita pati. Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas. Tamna jagacham matanatma sambhava. Sa aham. Myself, the great Brahma. Samam naya. Maya, sorry, samam naya mayaha. In the chain of the cyclic succession of Vedic wisdom. Tapaha mayaha.
Successfully having undergone all austerities.
Prajapatinam.
Of all the forefathers of living entities.
Abhivanditaha,
worshipable.
Patihi,
master.
Astaya,
successfully practiced.
Yogam,
mystic powers.
Nipunam,
very expert.
Samahitaha,
self-realized.
Tam,
the supreme lord.
Na,
did not.
Adhya gacham.
Properly understood.
Yataha.
From whom?
Atma.
Self.
Sambhavaha.
Generated.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Translation.
Although I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities, and am an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand Him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. Purport? Pretty long purport. Brahma, the greatest of all living creatures within the universe, is admitting his failure to know the Supreme Lord despite his vast learning in the Vedic wisdom. Despite his austerity, penance, mystic powers, and self-realization, and despite being worshipped by the great Prajapatis, the forefathers of the living entities. So these qualifications are not sufficient to know the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji could understand the Lord to be a little Brahmaji could understand the Lord to a little extent only when he was trying to serve him by the eagerness of his heart, Riddhakantyavata, which is the devotional service mood. Therefore, the Lord can be known only by the sincere mood of eagerness for service, and not by any amount of material qualification, a scientist or a speculative philosopher, or by attainment of mystic powers. This fact is clearly corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:54 and 55. Brahma bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kanchati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Bhakti mama vijanati yavam yaschasmi tatvataha. Tato mam tatpato natwa vishate tad anantaram. Only self-realization by attainment of the above high qualifications of Vedic wisdom, austerity, etc., can help one on the path of devotional service. But failing in devotional service, one remains still imperfect, because even in that position of self-realization, one cannot factually know the Supreme Lord. By self-realization, one is qualified to become a devotee, and the devotee, by service mood, bhaktiya, only
can gradually know the Supreme, the personality of Godhead. One should not, however, misunderstand the import of visite enters into, as offering or as referring to merging into the existence of the Supreme. Even in material existence, one is merged in the existence of the Lord. No materialist can disentangle self from matter, for the self is merged in the external energy of the Lord. As no layman can separate butter from milk, no one can extricate the merged self from matter by acquiring some material qualification. This visite by devotion, bhaktya, means to be able to participate in the association of the Lord in person. Bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord, means to become free from material entanglement and then to enter into the kingdom of God, becoming one like Him. Losing one's individuality is not the aim of bhakti yoga or of the devotees of the Lord. There are five types of liberation, one of which is called sayujya mukti, or being merged into the existence of the body of the Lord. The other forms of liberation maintain the individuality of the particle soul and involve being always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The word visate used in this verses of the Bhagavad Gita is thus meant for the devotees who are not at all anxious for any kind of liberation. The devotees are satisfied simply in being engaged in the service of the Lord, regardless of the situation. Lord Brahma is the first living being who directly learned Vedic wisdom from the Lord, Tene Brahma Ridaya Adikavaye. Therefore, no one can be more learned Vedantist than Lord Brahma. He admits that in spite of his perfect knowledge in the Vedas, he was unable to know the glories of the Lord. Since no one can be more than Lord Brahma, how can a so-called Vedantist be perfectly cognizant of the Absolute Truth? The so-called Vedantist, therefore, cannot enter into the existence of the Lord without being trained in the matter of Bhakti Vedanta, or Vedanta plus Bhakti. Vedanta means self-realization, and Bhakti means realization of the personality of Godhead, to some extent. No one can know the personality of Godhead in full, but at least, to a certain extent, one can know the Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, by self-surrender and a devotional attitude, and by nothing else. In the Brahma Samhita also it is said, Vedesu Durlabham, or simply by study of Vedanta, one can hardly find out the existence of the personality of Godhead. But the Lord is Adulabham Atma Bhakto, very easily available to His devotee. Srila Vyasadeva, therefore, was not satisfied simply with compiling the Vedanta Sutras, but over and above this, by the advice of his spiritual master, Narada, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to understand the real import of Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the absolute medium by which to understand the Absolute Truth. Let's repeat that. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the absolute medium by which to understand the Absolute Truth. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Om gyanam tamandasya gyanam jana shalakaya chakshuram etam yena tasmai shri guru prema. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Srila Prabhupada Iti Namani. Sri Sri Vindata Vivira Padapad Pankaja Daini Prabhupada Nupada Nama Sri Vardhavi. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Samani Pinamani. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nivishesha Sanyavadi Pashyata Deshitani. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravati Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, unfortunately, human beings have a problem. And their problem is that they have a little bit of intelligence, which means that they want to inquire why they're here, why this machine operates like this, why are so many people sitting in the class here, and they want to inquire about everything, and what would happen after this life, what would happen in the next, how can we make life better. So because of all these kind of things, we can understand that we are suffering, because we can't quite find answers, or we understand so much suffering. So if one doesn't want to be in that situation, then that's okay. In the next life, you can become an animal, like become a dog. You can sleep all day and bark all night, get some food to eat, and life is set. We're all happy. You know, ignorance is bliss. So that's animal life. But human life, unavoidably, tends to inquire, what am I doing here? What's the purpose of life? Why am I suffering like this? Why can't I get out of this suffering? Every time I try to find some happiness, then the result is more suffering. We may get a tiny bit of happiness, but then the majority is suffering. Like an iceberg, you see a little tip, and oh, this is very nice. But under this is this huge block of ice. So that's how enjoyment is in this world. So we have the nature to inquire. We can't avoid it. We have the nature to inquire. So here, Lord Brahma is discussing with his son, Narada, telling Narada Muni, about his qualifications, very humbly, that, let's go back to hear what he says. He says, I myself, the great Brahma, but he's so great, he's the greatest personality, and he has all these qualifications, but still, he cannot understand the Lord. That he is a great Brahma. That samam naya mayaha. That he is in the chain of the cyclic succession of Vedic wisdom. Just imagine how great a personality that is. Then tapa maya. That I have successfully undergone all austerities. Not only that he has undergone all austerities, but he has successfully undergone. Like Srila Prabhupada selected his words very carefully here. That he's so great, you know, many of us perform tapasya. And if you go in India especially, you'll find unlimited types of sadhanas. People perform all sorts of practice and austerities. For some reason, for that reason is to try to attain the Supreme. And if one Kumbh Mela, there is one person there, he had thorns pricked in all parts of his body, you know, like how Bhishma Dev, grandfather Bhishma had the arrows, he had thorns all over his body. And he was there, lying down. Somehow or the other, he's thinking that by that practice, he can gain the Supreme. He can gain in favor of the Supreme Lord. And then you have some of them are the Nagababas, they would be totally naked in the heat and the cold, and rubbing ash over their body and perform all sorts of meditation. I remember when we went to Kedarnath one year, I saw this, there were two yogis, one of them was sitting, and it was cold, maybe in the 30s, and he was sitting with bare kopins in the open, and he was meditating. And this other yogi, he was standing up, leaning on a tree branch, and then the other devotees told me that that's his vow, that he never sits down or lay down. He sleeps. Everything he does right, he stands up. And he's been doing that for years and years and years. Then you have the very vivid example with Subari Muni. How many years he meditated under the water? 60,000 years, something like that. And he meditated under the water, and then he became distracted. As soon as something distracted him, he opened his eyes, and he saw two fish coupling. And then the thought came, what nonsense am I performing all this? Let me get up and get married. So you get up, you get married, and you start with enjoying life. So all these things are there. There's so much austerities are there. But if they're not the proper type of austerities, then the result would not be there. One doesn't attain just the Supreme Personality of Godhead by these activities. And Lord Brahma continues. Prajapatinam, he said, of all the forefathers of living entities, he is worshipable. Abhivanditaha, that he is worshipable. Pati, he is the master of all these forefathers, and he's been worshipped by so many people. Then he also says here again that Astaya, yogam, that I have successfully practiced and I'm in perfection of mystic powers. So Lord Brahma had done all of that. He practiced so well, he's expert in practicing all these mystic powers. Nipunam, very expert. Plus Samahitaha, he self-realized, he has realized the self. But still, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite all of that. So what to speak of persons like us, or ordinary people? You name it, Lord Brahma went there. He did it. So in the beginning, Lord Brahma was the first person to practice imperialism, to try to understand the Lord from his own mental ability. And all he was seeing was all darkness, until he got the instruction from the Lord, tapa, to perform tapasya. And that's when he was able to understand the Lord to the extent that is necessary for him. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here that all these qualifications, all these abilities, doesn't qualify one to understand the Personality of Godhead. And he quoted Brahma Samhita, Vedesu Durlabham, that by studying the Vedas, one cannot know him. But how can one know him? Adulabham Atma Bhakto, by devotional service, not by the study of the Vedas. Then Krishna also says that only by the process of undivided devotional service can I be known as I am. So all these instructions are there for us. And it's being given by the head of our sampradaya, Lord Brahma. So what more can we ask for? Lord Brahma went there, done that. I'm pretty sure every parent has this experience. They would tell their children, when their children are growing up, don't do this, you're going to get bad results. Don't do that, don't do that. And the children are thinking, who are you to tell me that? And the parents are saying, we went there, we done that, we have the experience, I'm telling you, it's bad for you, you're going to lose in every way, shape and form. And the majority of the kids, maybe 99.9%, are thinking, what do you know? I can do this. And then they go through the cycle, what the cycle called 20, 40, 60 experience. That at 20, they're thinking, who are you to tell me what to do? And then between 20 and 40, I'm going to do this my way. Then at 40, it's all a failure, it's all wrong. Then let me try another way. Then by 60, it's too late, you know. Yeah. So that philosophy is there in the material world. So here Lord Brahma is explaining that none of these qualifications work. The only thing that works is bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that bhakti comes in three forms. You know, by your physical body, by your speech, and then by your thoughts. Body, thoughts, words, and actions. Yeah, so Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Tad vini prani patena pariparshanena sevaya. Krishna first says, Tad vini prani patena. Prani patena means that you do something with your body. You first serve with your body, you offer obeisances. You do some service. Tad vini prani patena pariparshanena. Then you develop, you can start speaking about Krishna, speaking about the Lord, prashnena, you speak. And then prani prashneva sevaya. Sevaya ultimately means that you have the right mentality of service. Not that you only serve, but you serve with the right mentality. That you're serving not with any motivation, but you're serving with the ultimate goal of pleasing the Personality of Godhead. I remember when I was temple president, we had some brahmacharis in the temple. And then I keep asking, you know, why can't you do some more service? So, well, you know, we want to do enough service, just enough so that you don't kick us out of the temple. So like that, your life is set. We don't want to do more than that. We just want to be able to stay here. That's our goal. You know, we're brahmacharis, we're wearing saffron, which is the big thing in ISKCON. Here is one wearing saffron. And your life is set. So like that. But that's not the goal. You know, the goal is more than that. That whatever we do it wholeheartedly, with eagerness. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada uses word very, very strongly. What is it? Ridokantayavata. That with great eagerness, Srila Prabhupada is saying that you have to serve the Lord, yes, Ridokantayavata. Ridokantayavata. That with great eagerness, one should be serving in Krishna consciousness. The in-depth meaning of this word is that one serves with such zeal and eagerness that one's heart comes up to his throat. That's literally what this word means if you look it up. That you're serving with such eagerness that your heart is coming out. You know, we have this saying that I give my heart to you, I give my heart to this person, I give my heart to this service. Well, literal it means you give your heart. That's what it means. And that's what this word, Srila Prabhupada stressed this one of the important words in this purport. And he also talks about vasate. That with no motivation, so our motivation should be to serve with no motivation, if that makes sense. So Lord Brahma is explaining all these points here that he's telling his son Narada that I have all these qualifications. I'm the creator, you know, I'm the greatest personality, I'm expert in all tapasyas and everything, and still I cannot know the personality of Godhead. It's only by this zeal for service. Without kantya vataha. That's the only process, with that zeal and enthusiasm. And of course, that has to be backed by patience. Shraddha Utsahan. So these two must be side by side. If one has Shraddha, faith, but has no Utsahan, no enthusiasm, you know, let me just lay back and one day Krishna would give me his blessing. I don't have to do anything. Just stay put. That's ignorance. And if one has a lot of enthusiasm, well, okay, I want Krishna, but I want him now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. Then also, that's not also good. So these two must be there, Shraddha Utsaham. Patience has to be there. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wrote in his Dasavashni prayers. I always like to remember that. In this world of Maya, full of trials and tribulations, averse to the Lord, only patience, humility and respect for others are our friends of Hari Bhajan. Very, very powerful statement. Very, very powerful. I think that's one of the best gifts that I've received since I came in ISKCON. And I came to Alacho, one of Prabhupada's disciples gave me as a gift. And I have it in my office. It's so sweet. I try to remember it, but only once a month or once in 6 months I would remember that this plaque is there, let me read it. You know, something like what you have, the signs in it in the kitchen or the temple. You have signs, don't take away this, don't do that. And then you have it in seven different languages here. Mother Nanda used to have it in seven different languages, if you remember. And then things still weren't happening. Then one day I joked with her, hey, you have to write another sign that please read the sign. So like that, we have all these facilities. But we have to make an effort to look at them, make an effort to read them. Like one day, Dhanavi Maharaj, we have a long-term friendly relationship, so one day he gave me, when his new books came out, the Gauga Samhita, he gave me all the copies that he had at the time. So he came to my house, and he gave me, and he says, take it, and maybe your grandkids may read it. So he totally read my mind. You know, he said, take it, maybe your grandkids may read it. But keep it here. That's, you know, it's important. You keep it here. So this is it. We have to keep it here. We have to keep all these facilities here. And when we engage, then it's the great hope that once we work without motivation to engage in bhakti with whatever abilities we have, then we can achieve the Lord. It's not so easy because, you know, sometimes, like in the Bhagavatam, you found Krishna chastised Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu this great boon that you will not be die, cannot die from by day or night from, you know, not on the land, not on, up in the air, not inside, not outside, not, all these. So after that episode, Lord, you know, the Lord told Brahma, he said, don't do this, don't do like this again. You know, don't try to give all these boons. And then he did with the same thing with Lord Shiva. When he gave Vrikrasura the boon that whoever head he touches, they would split in 100 pieces. Then the demon says, let me try it on your head, and he start chasing Lord Shiva. Well, finally, he went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu tricked him. He said, don't you know this Shiva, he's just a crazy guy. You see, he's always at skull living in a crematorium. That, don't take him seriously, nothing he says actually works. Why don't you try it on your own head and see? And he touched his own head, and boom, he's dead. So then Lord Vishnu told Shiva, he said, don't do like this again, you know, you're messing things up. You'll make it difficult. But unfortunately, Krishna is doing the same thing. He himself is doing the same thing. And what? He says that one who surrenders unto me, one who becomes my devotee, I become a devotee to that devotee. Yeah. That he becomes sold out. He gives himself to that person. Like Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot, for example. You know, Arjuna was such a devotee that Krishna became his driver. Actually, there's a funny story. One day, the Pope came to the United States. I know, big, saintly person, big Pope, so a lot of commotion. They have him in this big, fancy car, sitting. So much people around. So the Pope told the driver, just drive fast, let's get away from all this crowd. So the driver, he drove very quickly, very fast, and then the Pope said, stop the car. He said, you know, I'm tired of being driven around, so can I drive you, can I be the driver? So the driver said, okay, whatever you want. So they switched places, and then the Pope started driving, and he started driving very fast. And there came the cops, they stopped the car. So when the cops stopped, look, he peeped, he saw the Pope, he said, oh my God, how can I charge him? So he called his boss. He called up his boss, he said, this and this is the situation, that there's an important, very important man here, and I don't know what to do, if to charge him. He said, who is that important person? He said, I don't know, but he's so important that the Pope is driving him. The Pope is his driver. So this is the thing that, you know, Krishna gets sold out to his devotees, that he becomes the driver of his devotees. He becomes the messenger, the last leg before the Mahabharata war. When all else failed, he said, let me go myself. He became the messenger himself, went over to the Kurava camp, try to make peace. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, the most menial service, who was doing it?
Krishna.
What was he doing?
Washing
the feet of all the devotees. Yeah. What can be more menial than that? And here, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, my Guru Maharaj initiated me, Dharmaraj Deva Das. Das means servant. But everybody's calling me Dharmaraj Prabhu. And I'm sitting here on this big Vyasasan, so many senior devotees are around, and so many are listening. And, oh, you know, this is, I'm no Das, I'm Prabhu. Everyone is calling me Prabhu, they're calling me Master. And, you know, therefore I'm very important. And then I start thinking, oh, just Master? Just Prabhu? Why not Dharmaraj Mahaprabhu? So that's the last near of Maya. That's how Maya takes us away. You know? I remember about many years ago, came in one morning, and Japatak Maharaj was standing up in front of the lobby there with about 20 of his disciples. I know he's about 7 feet tall, and all his Latin devotees are about 5 feet tall. So I'm passing, so I'm about 6 feet tall, so, you know, our heads are kind of seeing each other. So I know it's one of those things, you know, you see a sannyasi, so you want to offer obeisances right in front of them. Hello, Maharaj, I'm offering obeisance to you. You know, I'm important, I'm offering obeisance to you. So I offer obeisances and I pass by, and Maharaj turned around, he said, how can I serve you, Prabhu? So then I just look at him and I walked away. And then I felt this big shadow behind me. So Maharaj left all his disciples and he came over here. And he came behind me, he said, Prabhu, how can I serve you? So then I'm thinking, my God. You know, I didn't quite figure it out until about 10 years after what really went on. That I was so proud that I want to go and offer obeisances in front of him to show him, I'm offering obeisances to you, Maharaj. So therefore, you need to do me some service. That's like, if you look deep into that mentality, that's, you know, in a sense, that's what it boils down to be. Like we were there in Vrindavan the other day, and for Mangal Arati, Navyagendra Swami would be sitting right in front of Srila Prabhupada, and then in front of him there's a path where all devotees would walk around before Mangal Arati start commemorating. And then the whole place is packed. You have that little tiny samadhi, at least 200, maybe more devotees packed in there. And outside, another 3,000 devotees trying to fit in for Mangal Arati every day. So then devotees would come and right in front of Maharaj, blocking everybody, they would come and offer obeisances in this narrow little passage like this, and offer full dandavats and stay there for like 2 minutes, and blocking everything, you know. So I was thinking, my God, you can offer obeisances at the side. Don't disturb the other devotees, you know. But sometimes, you know, like, we kind of think like that. Okay. I am humble, so you announce. In Guyana, we used to say, well, the first thing you do is that you announce and then you renounce. So we first announce, okay, I am here, I'm this humble person. You know, what we say, my my humble self, you know, like that, we put up our hands, my humble self is here. So all these are different snares. You know, so all these are different snares of Maya. But it doesn't quite work. Of course, it's a good stepping stone that we're stepping in a line, trying to be humble, trying to adopt the right attitude. So coming back to the point, Tad Vini Prani Patena Pari Pashnina Sevaya. You know, like sometimes you go out on Ratayatras, we ask some devotees or something, karmis pass by. Hey, can you help me do something? Oh, sure, yes, we can do it. Help me hold a piece of wood or put, you know, for 5 minutes. So that's good. You start service with your body. And then they said, you know, come on, let's practice or till the devotees come. Let's go. We can continue serving. And look, we have some books. People are passing. You know, just explain Krishna consciousness to them. Consciousness to them, you know, and invite them for the program. Oh, no. I have, you know, I have to take my family to the beach or, you know, I have to do something. I can't do that now. So that part is a little more difficult, you know, to not only to do some service, but like to speak about Krishna. That because to speak about Krishna, you have to know about Krishna. You have to learn. You have to learn to love Him, so then you have the enthusiasm to share. And then to have the proper mindset, well, I'm doing this not, you know, not for my pride, but I'm doing this as a service to the Lord, as a service to the devotees, for the benefit of everyone else. So these stages one has to go through. And when one does that, then Krishna says what he says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram Pushvam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakti Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Paratam Ashtami Prayatatmanaha. That whatever you offer to me, that offer to me love and devotion, even these little things, a fruit, flower, leaf or water, I would accept. So what Krishna is accepting, he's accepting the bhakti, the love, the devotion behind it. When we make offering, at the end of the offering, the tray still comes out and everything is still there. At least that's what I'm seeing, everything is still there. I'm not seeing any piece of broken chapatis or anything that piece is missing. But it's there and then devotees partake. But Krishna says he actually takes something from it. He takes the love and devotion that the devotee offers it with. There's this one story with this one little cowherd boy. He was herding his cow, and this one big missionary, this Moses, came by and he looked at him and he saw in the desert that this boy, at the end of the day, he took a little bowl and he put some milk from his cow and he put it on the rock. Every night he's doing that. And this big yogi is asking, what are you doing that for? He said, oh, I'm giving this for the Lord, that this is the, you know, this milk is for offering to God. And he said, are you such a fool? You think God would eat it? Would you just come and take? He said, yes, every morning when I get up, the milk is gone, just the empty bowl is there. And then the big yogi is saying, you're such a fool, that God is spirit. He can't come and eat that. That if you want to know for yourself, why don't you hide behind the bushes and see what's going on in the night? So the boy thought, oh, you know, simple little village boy. Oh, that's a good idea. Let me see what's going on. So he hid in the bushes, and next morning he was very, very sad. So the Mahayogi came back to him and said, what happened? He said, you know, you were right. That God is not eating this. That I saw this fox came and was drinking all the milk. And so he said, you see, I told you, you know, God is spirit. He doesn't come and take these things. And the yogi went off. And then the Lord indicated to him. He said, why are you such a fool? You distract this child. He said, every night I come and I taste this milk. I take the bhakti that this bhakta has for me. That's what I take from this milk. And then this hungry fox is there, so he also gets some. He gets some milk. But the essence is that the devotion of the devotee is what the Lord accepts. Of course, in extreme cases, he physically eats, like we have in the story of Raghunandan Acharya and his son, that the Lord physically came. He ate it. So anyway, the idea is that this is what brings us to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Whatever we are doing, however big or however small, one can be a big pujari, or one can be the bathroom cleaner. So one day when I went to Vrindavan in 2006, I met this one boy, and he said, "I am GVC." So I said, "Oh yeah, so what does that mean?" He said, "Gurukul bathroom cleaner." So anyway, so whatever your service is, from the GVC to the bathroom cleaner, from the pujari to the temple sweeper, what is important is the mood that you perform that service in, however little or however great. And that's what Lord Rama is indicating in this verse here. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada brings that to a different level, a level of perfection. One time, I'll tell this last story and stop. One time, Srila Prabhupada, he left his room, he went down to the temple or somewhere, while the servant came, they cleaned, in a normal routine, he cleaned the room and Prabhupada wasn't there. So then Prabhupada came back and he was furious. He was so angry, so he asked his personal servant, "Who cleaned this room?" But they don't know. He went and asked the temple president. He said, "Go and ask, Bhanat, who cleaned this room?" Temple president came, he said, "He doesn't know." And then they start finding out. And all the while the devotees are wondering, what can make Prabhupada so angry? Everything looks clean, everything looks good, but Prabhupada was angry. And then they finally found the devotee, but before the devotee came, Prabhupada revealed why you were so angry. He said, "Just see, this rug in the middle of my room is a little twisted, very slightly twisted." He said, "You have to do your service perfectly for the pleasure of the Lord. If you want to go back home, do your service perfectly." So that's why he was angry. I know sometimes every morning I come and, since I heard that story, you know, every morning, then I come out, look at, you know, Srila Prabhupada lotus feet, that pad there. And whenever, after he's being cleaned, the pad would be a little twisted, not straight, so I would put it back straight. And then I would offer obeisances. So anyway, so like this, you know, Srila Prabhupada is bringing all these devotional items to perfection for us. So what a wonderful opportunity. So I would stop here. If there are any questions, Sharanga Thakur Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I'm thinking that word perfectly might feel a little intimidating, but when you think about it, it's basically noticing and being attentive to details, you know, and being personal, yeah. Personally attentive that way. But in another point, I was thinking about this Vedic wisdom, and Prabhupada down at the bottom of the page, mm-hmm. We're saying how the Vedic wisdom and the austerities and things like that can help on the path of devotion, but but to enter into devotional service, you have to be in that devotional mood. But I was particularly thinking about Vedic wisdom because it's the goal is all about Krishna, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe it's just so, rather indirect, and a lot of people miss it.
Yeah, look, Srila Prabhupada said it right here, on the last of his purport. Look, here he says, when you talk about Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva therefore was not satisfied simply by compiling the Vedanta Sutras, but over and above this, by the advice of his spiritual master Narada, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to understand the real import of Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore is the absolute medium by which to understand the absolute truth. So here Narada is described, Narada chastised his disciple Vyasadeva that you have compiled all these different yogic system, this, that, all different practices. You have confused the other people and you have confused yourself, and therefore you're not happy. I'm not saying that. That's what Narada said, okay? Don't quote me. Yeah, that's, I'm not the one, you know, we don't have the authority to talk about Srila Vyasadeva like that. But that's what, you know, Narada told him. That now you compile that you have confused people and confused yourself, because you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the aspect of devotional service. That is the essence of Vedic wisdom. That is the essence. So, right here, Srila Prabhupada answered your question right here in Popol. So, that's the important thing. So, with all the abilities that we may have, all the yogic practices or all our material abilities or whatever, Srila Prabhupada described them as being all zeros. You can have 2 zeros, 5 zeros, 10 zeros, it doesn't matter. Add them together, you're going to get zero. But when you add the bhakti in front, that's like adding the one in front, then all those zeros become 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, trillion, whatever the case may be. It becomes valuable because you're utilizing it. Utility is a principle, right? The four aphorisms we have, you know, chanting is the means, books are the basis, utility is the principle. What's the other one? Purity is the force, yes. So those things are there. I mean, how much more can we ask for? Srila Prabhupada broke things down in such a simple way that from a very logical point of view, we can get these, we can understand. One time, something he was speaking about, and a devotee asked, he said, Prabhupada, how come you can come up with so many everyday, logical, rock-bottom, basic examples for people to understand? Where do you get these things from? Prabhupada said, because I always think about it. And then he says that these books, I could have written them much, much faster, but I have to think and put it in a way so that common people can understand. So that's our great fortune. That's our great fortune. So, does that answer your question? One more? Okay.
Just to add a point. Is it correct to say then that the Vedas are interested in Varnashram Dharma, you know, and with fruit of activities and the whole the whole thing like that?
What was the question? I missed it.
Well, that,
or is it a statement?
That, that the Vedas promote and emphasize the Varnashram system, you know, the fruit of activities, the sense gratification, the, you know, how to do everything in the proper rituals with the goal of liberation, which of course doesn't satisfy the self.
So, if I understood what you're saying, that the, yeah, all those things are there for gradual progression.
So people get lost in that.
Yes. So therefore Prabhupada came and said, forget about the steps. Come use the elevator. He said, forget about all these, you know, these rituals and processes. Not that they're wrong, but as what you rightly said, it can get you distracted. And it's slow, it's tedious, and like I think the other day we were discussing about wrong pronunciation. If you pronounce things wrong, then instead of you getting, Ganga Ram Prabhu was explaining to me after the class last time that instead of we getting one result, we get a total the opposite because we pronounce it wrong. It, you know, so with all of those things, with the Vedic rituals, is the actual word and pronunciation what is important. In devotional service, is the intent that is important. I don't know. Before COVID, when everybody used to be here, so many devotees doing japa, whenever I'm on the altar, then I can hear everybody, somehow or the other, for some strange reason, I can hear everybody doing their japa. And you can hear the different ways they pronounce. And sometimes you hear different mantras too. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram 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 Ram. So sometimes you hear different things. And but we see all those devotees that they're so intent in their service and they're making such nice advancement. So it has to be even, you know, within their mind that, you know, they're chanting the right thing, it may come out a little different. I remember hearing Japatak Maharaj doing japa. And the last quarter of his mantra, I don't hear it. It's like fade off. That was years back, I don't know what's now. And in my crazy mind, I'm thinking, you know, is he chanting silently? Is he,
What is he doing? I'm trying to understand. And then the next thought came, oh, you fool. I'm talking to myself. You want to see the result of someone's japa? Look at their activities. Yeah. You want to see how advanced someone is? Look at their activities. Rather than sitting on the internet and, you know, speculating or commenting about other people. Look at their activities. See what they have done in devotional service and compare yourself to what you have done. So, you know, these things come out in this way, like devotees have different ways of bringing out their bhakti, but that's the important part. The intent is what Krishna accepts. So, anything else? So anyway, I guess we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.